would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward, here in my messy table. I've got trash all over this desk. I apologize for that. But here we are. It's been a couple of weeks. I really should be doing this show weekly, but I don't always have something to talk about. Last week I wasn't feeling it. I'll be honest. I'm still playing my PlayStation 5 quite a bit. So if I've got to make a decision between doing a live stream on the internet that nobody's going to watch or playing some Demon Souls, if I don't have anything to talk about, I might lean towards the Demon Souls. But I've got a couple of fun topics to talk about this week. So here I am. No upcoming shows. There's going to be a No Jokes Bard this month in April. I haven't solidified the date. I'm aiming for the 17th, but anyway, I'm waiting to hear back to see if it's available. I just sent in the my message to the owner this morning, so news on that as it comes. Nothing upcoming other than that. Had a fun show in Campbellton the weekend before last. That was a shocking night of shenanigans that can't be discussed until the statute of limitations is up. So nothing else going on. It was a fun show, and it was good to get back on. I've been on the stage, but mostly just my own show since September. I think I did Five and Dime once and had that show in Woodstock. And anyway, it's nice to get whatever opportunities for stage time I can get. I wouldn't say that I'm getting my full hustle on, as some may say, but that leads into our first topic of the evening. I've seen this article being, I've as a comedian, I've got many other comedians as friends on Facebook. Generally, if I'm out of town for whatever reason and I hit up the local open mics, I end up picking up a few extra Facebook friends or just people that I've met on the shows. So if you're not a comedian, that's how the networking, I guess you would call it, kind of works. So I have a lot of comedians on my Facebook feed, and I've seen several of them sharing this paste article on the internet. Hang on a second. Let's bring it up. Take a look at it here. So, I've seen a lot of people, bringing this article up on their Facebook, and I kind of wanted to talk about it because it seems to be, resonating. That's the word I'm looking for. With a lot of my fellow comedians, and it does make some good points. I don't really like the angle of this thing, and there is some straight up nonsense or malarkey, as Joe Biden would call it, throughout this article. And I was just going to kind of summarize it, and I was kind of, before the show, I was reading it over again, and I was taking some notes of just notable things that are said throughout the article. But there's either mildly good points or straight malarkey in almost every paragraph in this thing. So it's interesting, even the parts that I don't like or agree with, because I this is I hear a lot of this, not directly. I'm, again, mostly just looking at other comedians on Facebook. So, if you're not watching the video of this, it's an article on PasteMagazine.com. It sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not sure if I've ever read an article on there. It's written by Olivia Cathart, March 31st. That's last week. So this seems to be part of a growing trend of, I don't know if she's as bad as this guy, Seth Simons, who's constantly writing stories that are just, he's kind of a failed comedian and he's kind of talking trash about New York comedians every chance that he can get. This one isn't pointed at any particular people. This just seems like open mic complaining, which, hey, I've done my fair share. I don't begrudge her. It's anyway. So anyway, let's go through this. So if you're not, if you don't see it on the video, you just Google Paste Magazine, and the article is called "Hustle Culture is Ruining Comedians." I don't know about that, but you know, that's a catchy title, and a lot of people that are sharing it seem to be of the "see, you know, this is good," and this seems to be something that they're feeling, and somebody put it into an article, so. It starts out, "It's been a year since COVID put live entertainment on a forced hiatus. For some comics, it's been a year since they've performed on a live show, while others never stopped. To call a side effect of a global pandemic a silver lining seems like an insult to actual silver linings, but any forced moment of pause can lead to much-needed reflection." So with that, it was kind of... it's been stressful this past year without much going on. We've had shows on and off since September. But I can certainly see the moment to stop and, you know, take a breath and give yourself an excuse to not work on it, I guess. That was a nice relief, but I don't feel like it was, it's still forced though. It's not something that I wish I had done during normal times, but I wasn't able to because of the pressure. This was kind of a, well, you might as well take a break because there's nothing that you can do with it anyway. So anyway, continuing on. "During that fleeting minute where it seemed like we'd be facing merely a 2 to 4 week nationwide shutdown, oh, how naive, there was a sigh of relief. Suddenly you could do the thing you're never supposed to do in comedy. Take a damn break." I don't know. I've definitely thought it. I don't know. And this is we're definitely a smaller market, but I don't see a lot of this, people wanting to take a break and people like getting mad at them. The use of the word damn here is, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it, but anyway, continuing on, "Whether a few days or a week or two, taking a breather is so frowned upon. You're expected to hold your breath indefinitely. Turning blue in the face is the only path towards Conan/salvation. Of all the toxic mentalities embedded in the comedy industry, hustle culture is taught the earliest." Is Conan even still have a talk show where comedians are going on? And I don't know. I feel like anybody that's worried that they're doing too many sets is probably not somebody that's on the path towards Conan/salvation. I'm not. "Hustle culture, aka the billionaire mindset, tells you to never get more than 3 hours of sleep, never stop networking, never say no." I don't know about the 3 hours of sleep. "The less you take care of yourself, the more worth you have. Regardless of the industry, an obsession with hustling is a surefire path to burnout, yet it is hardly ever acknowledged in stand-up, despite its high prevalence." First, I don't know about high prevalence in stand-up. Again, I'm only speaking with the little tiny corner of stand-up comedy that I see. There are definitely plenty of people who have come and gone. Some of them just like one or two sets. Some of them did it for a couple of years and then just decided it wasn't for them. But I don't feel like it's a high prevalence, and it's kind of a self-selecting thing. I don't think most of the people that give up on it or burned out that I've seen around here anyway. No, you have to get up every day, do multiple shows a night, say yes to every gig, do every room. A too literal interpretation of Gladwell's 10,000 hours rule. It's perpetuated everywhere, from the club owner that requires two late night credits for a booking to the indie booker that demands performers are getting up at least three times a week to do their basement showcase. Somewhere along the way, comedy became just a numbers game. Again, this might exist outside of our little corner of comedy, but I've never... Certainly the idea that if you practice more, you will get better. I would say that applies to any skill in the Gladwell's 10,000 hours thing. If you do more, you will be better than if you did less. I didn't think was a controversial thing to say. However, I don't know if anybody, again, nobody that I've ever met, you know, I've heard the get up every day if you're in a place where you have that opportunity. That's definitely like these. This is advice to people that want to make a career out of it, which I understand for me is pretty well out of reach unless I'm in a much bigger city. But getting up every night, say yes to every gig, do every room. You should... say yes often and do every room that you can, but within reason. This just seems like, and as far as the club owner that requires two late night credits for a booking, if I was a club owner and I was in a position to only book people that have two different late night spots, that would be a pretty hopping comedy club. So it's kind of a supply and demand thing. If this booker is in a place where you can have that kind of a limitation, I could decide to not book anybody who has less than two late night spots on No Jokes Barred, but then I would have zero comedians on every show. If I was in a big city where there were enough people with multiple late night credits, that's not the be all and the end all, but you're going to probably have a better average show than if you book somebody that does not want to do comedy very often. Three times a week. It's been very rare, maybe a handful of times in my life since I've been doing this for almost 10 years, have I even been able to do three times a week. So that's not really an option for me. And again, I don't think it was any New Brunswick comedians that I saw share this. If you did, I apologize, but I don't think you could do enough stand up in New Brunswick to get burned out, even if you tried to. And that's only marginally less true for like slightly bigger places than New Brunswick. Continuing on with the article, the hustle is less about accumulating a vast library of quality jokes and more a mad dash to being the most booked and busiest in town. The continuance of the sort of influencer culture where the appearance of doing things is more important than how you actually do them. It's not about being the funniest. It's about being viewed as a real comedian, the most valid comedian. Now, that paragraph is weird. If this situation exists, I agree that it's crazy. But are there really comedians that judge other comedians without any regard to how funny they are and what kind of jokes they have to just, oh, well, you're a trash comedian, but you do your three sets a week, so... I don't know. I don't know if anybody is, especially if it's explicit. If somebody is explicitly saying, I know this person has terrible jokes, but they get up really often on stage, so therefore they are better. If anybody actually is making that argument, then I agree. That is ridiculous. I I question how prevalent that is. Continuing on, the brain poisoning brought on by hustle culture was on full display this last year. While some comics pivoted to safe digital shows, others wasted no time working around COVID precautions rather than with them to preserve their access to physical stage time. And while some comedians on these lineups do indeed rely on stand-up to pay their bills, just as many can only rely on stand-up to pay for their Hulu subscription with ads. Is that free? I don't have Hulu in Canada, so I don't know if that's a joke or not. Even when they were given an out, the perfect excuse to take a beat, so many could not. But if we've built a culture that validates your status as an artist around time clocked in, how could anybody feel comfortable sitting still? So the premise of this is, I mean, this feels like it's coming from the point of view of somebody who was constantly on the verge of quitting or taking a break and has just been waiting for an out, an excuse to take a break, which, I don't know, that's a weird attitude to have, which it's a fine, valid attitude to have, but this seems to be, like, not if you are serious. And again, I'm not serious about stand-up because I know there's a very low glass ceiling to New Brunswick stand-up comedy, and just the amount of extra hustle I could put in would not be a good return on the investment. So I can kind of see that angle on this whole thing. But this seems to be somebody who hates doing stand-up and just wants to be given opportunities. And, you know, some comics pivoted to safe digital shows. Relevant detail, those safe digital shows are not always very fun. They are better than nothing, would be the nicest way you could put it. And I enjoyed doing a few of those when I did it, but only because there was no other options. Even a bad live show is better than a good Zoom show, I would argue. I haven't followed the science on that, so I'm not, that's a subjective statement. And yeah, some people do rely on it to pay their bills, but who cares? If I don't know, this is kind of all over the place because now it's kind of throwing shade at people that just because you're not doing it as a full-time job, if you're only making enough to cover your Hulu subscription, that you should be the first one to take an extended break. But I don't know. This person doesn't seem like they missed doing stand-up on a live stage. I did, and that's why I wanted to do it as soon as I was legally allowed to. And even, you know, the parking lot shows, that was borderline. I was quite confident that there was not a safety issue. And I'm also confident in giving the people the opportunity to make their own decisions. And some people chose to come out, some people didn't, and that's their prerogative. But I did not see anybody, at least in my orbit over the pandemic, like chastising people, like, you got to get your stage time in, even if it's on Zoom or live. Like, I did. And again, maybe that's something that exists somewhere. And if it does, I agree that that's, I don't know. If you're in a place where you have the opportunity to get on stage and you're not, I don't know. I've got my opinions, but you're welcome to do what you want. Back to the article. Taking care of yourself is a guilty pleasure in comedy rather than a basic necessity. Comedians are terrified to slow down as if they were sharks and would die if they stopped moving. It's not just about the performance you give on stage. It's the one you do for your peers. From alerting Facebook to every mic you're doing on a weekly basis to making a boomerang of every single comedian at the show you're attending for your Instagram stories, everyone is killing it naturally, as is the only possible outcome. Keeping up with appearances holds just as much weight as honing your craft. After all, you can kick off the rust from taking a week off, but you can never get back those lost posting windows. Again, this is another thing that I don't think exists in my particular community. Who knows about this person? But as a show promoter, it's nice, and it's for the betterment of everybody if anybody that's on a No Jokes Barred show certainly would share it on their Facebook so that other people that they're friends with can see it. So more people come out to the show, which makes the show better for the audience and for the comedians. So that there's that. But and you know, I usually take pictures of everybody on No Jokes Barred and post it on my Instagram, but that's just to say, like, hey, here's it's an advertisement for the show. Anyway, hey, these people are having fun doing it, and I don't know. Who knows? And sometimes, you know, us comedians, we like to have a nice picture of ourselves on stage. I do what I can with my shitty cell phone camera. That's my public service, and I see people have reused my pictures on show posters and stuff. So it's, you know, it's not just for me, but I've never seen anybody like giving anybody any grief for not posting like show pictures after the fact and like bragging about all the bookings that they're getting. People could use help getting people into seats, but other than that, I don't think anybody cares. Not that I've experienced anyway. Back to the article. Other than Gladwell and the first guy who insisted on giving you unsolicited advice after your first open mic, there is no validity to this quantity over quality method of success. Again, the unsolicited advice can be annoying. I've given out my fair share, but I try not to just dump it on people. I say, hey, I thought of a thing. If you're interested, I'll tell you what I thought. And then nobody's been rude enough to be like, no, thanks, John Forward. They usually bite. But anyway, I give them the opportunity to tell me to go fuck myself. Even those who self-impose a quota onto themselves do not judge another's stand-up set by the number of jokes that can be crammed into it, but rather by the quality of said jokes. That's not entirely true. People talk about laughs per minute, so I guess that's the number of jokes within your set. I'm not a huge... Laughs per minute is certainly a factor. It's not a whole thing. It's a little of both. So what are we doing here? If time accrued was the leading factor in becoming funny, nobody under 30 would ever step foot on a late night stage. Well, again, first thing, the veneration of the late night stage is so old fashioned, and it's not like when people went on Johnny Carson the next day, they were famous. That doesn't happen anymore. I don't think any, and getting a late night credit, I think it opens some doors, certainly, but that's a weird, like, This person seems very fixated, like with the Conan reference earlier. And I think in bigger cities, there are a bigger focus on working on like your late night type five or seven or however long it is clean. Like that's a good thing to have in your pocket if you're somebody that, you know, that's going to be an option. It's certainly not going to hurt to get on any of those shows, but it's certainly not. I don't know. It doesn't feel like a great goal in and of itself. It's more of a stepping stone. And you know what? If we are judging by quality and like time put on stage, nobody under 30 would ever step foot on a late night stage. Young people, there's certainly exceptions, but you know, people that are in their 20s, they don't usually have a lot of life experience, and they're not always the most interesting people to listen to, but they're certainly like nobody is watching a 25-year-old just destroy with amazing jokes and like, yeah, he's doing pretty good tonight, but he doesn't get up on stage three times a week. So that's trash. Like I don't think anybody's saying that. So regardless of where you live, for every Eddie Pepitone, there's a vet who's been doing this for 2 decades and hasn't improved one iota since year one. Again, I like Eddie Pepitone a lot. That seems like a weird example as like the pinnacle. But anyway, that's just me. Sorry, Eddie, if you're watching this. I met him in Portland, Maine before COVID, and he was delightful. And I enjoy his comedy. Politically, not on board, but it doesn't matter. He's funny. So for every Eddie Pepitone, I agree, there are some people that have been doing comedy for a very long time, and they've been garbage forever. I've seen a lot of people start out pretty good. Like, wow, that's impressive that they're this good with this little experience, and then flatline. They stay that good, but they don't get better. Not everybody, but it happens. So there is, it's not like getting up on stage more is a guaranteed path to success. But when you hear about people who are successful, 100% of the time, when it's people that have like a good work ethic that are either doing sets constantly or writing constantly or probably both. 100% of the time, if there are people that made it and became amazing comedians without hustling in this way, I've never heard that story. So anyway, and for every Kevin Hart, there's a workhorse who has more sets a night than they have punchlines. Sometimes being consistently put on a million shows doesn't mean you're bookable, but rather just very available. Sure, there's truth to that. And if anybody is holding up this number of sets per week as more important than the quality of your work you're doing, I agree with this, but it seems like a straw man that might not exist. If it does, again, then I'm 100% on board with this. If this is a real thing, but it seems delusional. Hustle culture not only leads to burnout, but contributes to keeping bad shows and gatekeepers in power as they benefit the most from the never say no mantra. I can see that. That's not something that exists around here, but I guess if you were in a culture where there was a lot of pressure to never say no to anything, then yeah, if somebody runs a trash show and people are willing to do it just for the sake of getting on stage, then I guess as long as you've got a steady pool of comedians, you can continue on with your crappy show, I guess. Again, just like corporate America, toxic work environments do not need to exist. Sure, I agree with that. And if you are in a toxic work environment, I'm all for you doing whatever you can to either improve that environment or find a better one. That goes for corporate whatever or comedy. That's fine. Challenging gigs can be useful, but some are insurmountable. And anybody escaping with their limbs intact is an outlier. So that's, on its face, that is a true statement. If a show is insurmountable, then yeah, if it's a trash show that you know for sure is going bad and it could not go well, then yeah, that's screw that show. Don't do that show. If you don't want to do a show because you're used to doing a show for your own friends who will high-five you after you're done your set and you bomb everywhere else, then that the show might not be the problem. A challenging gig, it depends on how you define challenging. I think No Jokes Barred is a challenging gig because I don't feel like you get a lot of laugh when you're supposed to, just from the cadence of the and then everybody knows to clap and laugh. Like I feel like you have to work for it a little bit more in No Jokes Barred. And that's why I think it's a good show to do and it's good practice, and a little bit of challenge is going to help you. But yeah, doing a garbage show that will certainly turn out badly for everybody involved, and there's nothing that you can do to, I don't know, That seems ridiculous that anybody would expect you to do a garbage show, that there's no possibility of a good turnout or a good outcome, I should say. It is more likely that you've improved as a comedian not because you've thrown yourself into a tough environment, but in spite of it. I disagree with that. I think challenging yourself makes you better. To a point. Doesn't mean you just need to beat yourself up for no reason. There's trade-offs. Every decision you make, there's pros and cons. So carrying around the badge of a comic who does bad rooms is just another casualty from the glorification of the tortured artist archetype, a notion that often stops people from going to therapy, getting medicated, or divorcing themselves from destructive vices. Burning the candle at both ends in order to impress people that care far less about your gig count is more likely to be the thing that tanks your career than what catapults it. So, yeah, I guess it depends on how you define a bad room. I've never heard anybody bragging about doing a bad room. I wouldn't even brag about doing No Jokes Barred. I think it can be a challenging room. If anybody's walking around with a badge of honor that they did No Jokes Barred, then they're a bit ridiculous. But anyway, this seems like a scenario that, if it does exist, I'm on board with all of this, but it seems silly. Even in the arts, hell, especially in the arts, a healthy work-life balance is the actual thing that'll keep you going. You are allowed to work at a slower pace. You do not need to do every show. You can limit yourself to what's reasonably manageable on a given night and work the places with the people you respect. That, on board with that, that's fine. But there's trade-offs to it. If you really want to make a go and become a professional stand-up comedian, which, again, that's not the path that I'm on. If the opportunity opened itself up to me, that would be great. I'm not so foolish as to think that, you know, doing twice as many sets in New Brunswick is going to get me there. Work-life balance is reasonable. You can't write jokes if you don't have that balance, because if you're only as they've talked about here, there's a pretty funny line coming up. Let me just finish this paragraph. What good is getting up 3 times a week if you haven't written a new closer in 2 years? Good point. What good is getting up 3 times a night if you're going to half-ass your set, running jokes on autopilot? Good point. The amount of effort you put in is what's most important, and the time you spend off stage is just as valuable. For sure. If you're going to get up on stage, then I would rather somebody who does it once a month and, you know, gets the most out of it than somebody that goes out 3 times a week and is just on autopilot and has been doing the same Sussex jokes for the past decade. The amount of effort you put in is what's most important, and the time you spend off stage. Yeah, the downtime. I try to, it's been tough with COVID, but, you know, anytime any of my non-comedian friends want to do something, I will, especially in this past year, I'll make an effort to make it happen unless I've got something else on the go. Cause, you know, that is valuable to me, and it gives me, it is a break, and oftentimes it gives you something to write about, because you very quickly become unrelatable if your whole life is just stand-up comedy. If you truly eat, sleep, and breathe comedy, what on earth do you have to talk about? How can any audience member relate to someone whose only hobbies include listening to podcasts and yelling at strangers on Twitter about said podcasts in between recording episodes of their own podcast? I'm on board with this paragraph. I think she's right about that. Saying no to bad gigs and refusing to work with exploitative people are net goods regardless of how it affects your calendar. Again, I'm on board with that. But again, it depends on how you define bad gigs. If it's a bad gig because you're the only one that bombs on the show, then it's not the show's problem necessarily. And, you know, if somebody's being exploitative, for sure, you should consider all of your options and don't feel pressure to put yourself in a bad situation. But again, this pressure of, I don't know, maybe it exists wherever this person is from, but I don't see it. You should have a life outside of this. Your friends, family, significant others, your mental and physical health should not automatically take a backseat to bar shows and post-mic karaoke. A real comic knows when to step back and say no to hustle culture. I mean, saying no to bad shows is one thing, but this article's kind of all over the place. It seems to be somebody that just doesn't like doing comedy very much. And again, if there is this weird gatekeeper, like quantity over quality type people putting pressure on comedians, that's silly too. But if you go too far in the other direction where you're hardly ever doing sets, then that's fine, but you're not a comedian working your hardest on, you know, honing your craft and doing your thing. So anyway, that, again, if you're in New Brunswick, and I don't think you can physically get enough gigs to burn yourself out. There's certainly some bad gigs that I'll do some of them if I'm going to get a good story out of it, but I'm not going to repeatedly do the same terrible gig over and over again. But yeah, there is a give and take, and there's pros and cons for every show. As much fun as I had in the Campbellton show last weekend, I was happy to get on stage and do a bit of a longer set, and I did like 20, 25 minutes. And in front of an audience who was into it, and I had a great time, but it did take a lot out of me. It was, Campbellton is like 4.5-5 hours drive each way. So I gave up 2 full days to drive up there and back. And, our payment was fair considering, you know, it's a very, small place with limited seating because of COVID. But you know, we barely got enough to break even, which again, a free weekend of, most of, my after show drinks and gas money got paid for. I'm good with that. I had fun, but it's not something I would want to do every weekend and give up my entire weekend. Somebody sent me a message that's running an online open mic. I'm not sure if it's an open mic or not, but some sort of online Zoom show that they've been doing throughout the pandemic. It's American based. They asked me if I wanted to do a spot on a show they're doing tomorrow, which sounded like fun, but it starts at 7 p.m. Pacific, which is 11 p.m. my time, which is past my bedtime on a work night. But even then, like if I could be in bed by midnight, I would consider it. I'm usually kind of jacked up after doing comedy, even if it's an online show. So I'd have to take a sleeping pill or something to get to sleep if I want it, but I have to work in the morning. But this show, it starts at 11 PM and there's 25 comedians doing 4-minute sets, which is 100 minutes. And then there's round 2 where you do 1 to 3 more minutes. So this thing is not going to be done until like 2 a.m. And I wake up at 6:30 in the morning to get ready for work. To do an online show, not worth it. I was comfortable saying no. It would have been fun. The time thing is really the only factor. But, you know, it would be good to just, as a networking thing and to meet some people, probably get a couple of Facebook friends out of the deal. See some other people do comedy, and maybe, I don't know. It seems like a fairly professional looking setup they have. So I don't know what the audience interaction is like. It might have been a fun show, but the trade-off for me doing a 4-minute set and then a 1 to 3 minute set, which I would struggle. I don't have, I'm sure I could put something together, but to be up until like minimum 2 a.m. on a work night to do a very short set on the internet would not be worth just destroying me for the next day. So I said no to that. I thanked them for the offer and explained the situation that it's a bit too late. They kind of came back and said they sometimes do earlier shows on the weekends, and that's something I might get into, but that's something I was comfortable saying no. And maybe me having said that out loud, I'm going to have my inbox flooded with these horrible gatekeepers that are going to be yelling at me for giving up that precious stage time in exchange for not being completely wrote off at work the whole next day. I'm 38 years old. Staying up until 2 a.m., I might as well be drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels. I get like a sleep hungover if I'm up too late. And I don't mind staying up a bit late if it's worth it. Going to do some mics in Moncton and Fredericton. That's happened on a work night. I'm usually not out until 2 a.m., but I get home pretty late and I'm tired the next day, but that's worth it, the experience of it. But anyway, I push back about the whole angle of this thing where she seemed to be acting as if it's a complete hoax that doing comedy more often makes you better at doing comedy. I'd reject that claim. So to figure out a little bit more about what, like, the point of view that this person is coming from, I kind of took a look at, they clicked on her name, and just to get an idea of the other articles that this person is writing for, at least for Paste, ranking every ad from Detroiters. I liked the show Detroiters. That might be a fun article. Maybe I'll come back to that one. But Golden Globes are terrible and pointless and really need to stop combining comedy and musicals into a single award. Like, that's just looking at the headline. You can't say that it's terrible and pointless and then also say, but hey, you need to change this one category. That's ridiculous. Another one here, put out what you've got and relax. The case for comedy mixtapes, which I gave that one a skim, which this is an argument that, hey, don't wait until you've got a full hour of or a half hour or and like competent recording equipment to put your stuff down. Hey, everybody should be making mixtapes with their garbage cell phone audio tapes that you make, which, if you've got good stuff, then fine. But I don't know. If I'm recording something on my phone, that's mostly just for review purposes. It's not something that I would want to make a CD. And even people that are making albums where they've got like a full set and decent recording, it's debatable whether or not that's a thing that should happen still. But this mixtape thing, that article was out to lunch. I don't know what this big fat quiz thing is. We've got a nice picture of Dave Chappelle. Don't meet your comedy heroes. They might give you COVID. I didn't read that one, but yeah. Let's blame somebody for catching COVID. Comedy New Year's resolutions for 2021. There's a lot we need to change. I didn't read that one, but I'm guessing I'm going to disagree with a lot of things that she says need to change. Oh, comedians that want to help with the Georgia runoff. Hey, do you guys want to be political shills? Here's what you do. Dear comedy industry, let comics use audio submissions when trying to land new gigs already. Like, who? That just, hey, if you're submitting to be on a show, like, what do you want? Some sort of legal rule that, hey, let me send an audio only thing to do your comedy festival? Like, if they say that, it probably means you could, if they got a purely audio tape from somebody, you don't know how well edited that is. You don't get an idea of what somebody's stage presence is. There's certainly a good argument for listening to comedy albums and not watching the video. I could go either way. I like watching the video, but you know, I feel like it's more immersive to listen to it. But as a submission to be on something, if they are asking you for video, give them video and like let them send audio submissions. Okay, let them. And then just whoever's listening to it is going to just not be impressed by your cell phone audio if there's other people with good videos. We need more Thanksgiving TV, okay? Just because you're famous doesn't mean you're funny. Stand-up comedy's transfer student program problem. That one, yeah, we see Madonna here trying to be funny. This one, I'm probably on board with this one. Famous people trying to do stand-up rarely goes well. Another one, picture of Joe from Impractical Jokers. Surprise, prank shows are the absolute worst. Fuck you, Olivia Carthart. You can't be talking trash about the Impractical Jokers. That's where I draw my line. It's a funny show. It's one of the only things that I watch where I laugh out loud. There's nothing funny about Donald Trump. Disagree. Most cringeworthy episodes of The Office. Okay. Worst stunt. 12 great Simpsons episodes from after the golden age. Oh, here's a whole article about great episodes. And hey, Simpsons isn't that bad still. Live comedy can wait. Stop running shows during the pandemic. This was in July. Anyway, I take personal offense to that. I was running a parking lot show in July. Now, I wanted to see, we've read some of her writing. We've seen some examples of at least headlines for other things. What's the comedy like? That's what I wanted to know. I popped her name into YouTube. I haven't watched this. This is the top result. I want to experience it for the first time along with you guys. So let's check out Olivia Cathcart. Cathcart? Here it is. Oh, wait, shoot. Forgot to click off the audio box. Sorry for the brief technical moment here. Hang on. Share audio. Oh, no, this isn't the one. That was going to be for later, but I don't think we have time. All right, come on. The production team is really dropping the ball on this. I apologize. All right. Olivia Cathcart. All right, this is a clip called Money.
I don't know, I'm single, I'm 25, and I'm totally fine with being single, because that's very young. 25 is young, no matter what any editor of Cosmopolitan will tell you, that is young. But, like, a lot of my friends are also in their 20s, and, like, all they do is complain about how little sex they're having. And, like, I'm tired of it. Like, I'm not one to say check your privilege, but if your biggest problem is you're just not having sex as much as you like, you're only doing pretty well. So one of my biggest problems, let's see, I live at home, I work 3 jobs with garbage paychecks, I never know how much money I can each month. But unlike sex, there's something I can do alone to ease some of the stress. Like, if I get stiffed at work, I can't go home, dim the lights, pop in a DVD of The Wolf of Wall Street, and juggle a bag of quarters in my left hand to mitigate some financial blowballs. Can't do that. Although, sometimes I do like to, I'll like sit on my arm until I fall asleep. So it feels like someone else is depositing a check for $7. Try it sometimes. Hard to feel good about yourself doing it any other way.
Well, clearly somebody who's doing too many sets. That's all we can say about that. The idea of the end part about giving yourself the old stranger and making the bank deposit mildly. It's okay. Should we do one more? Let's see what else. What else we got? Share screen again. Olivia Cathcart. We don't need 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 1 minute, asexual bar. This one's from her actual channel. So that other one, this was uploaded by Epic Comedy Hour. Less than epic, I would say. This one is on her own YouTube page. What do we got?
One time at a show, mentioned I was asexual, and a real brave young gent raised his hand,
for some reason, and asked me, are there, like, any asexual bars? What? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, you got, like, your bike bars, you got, like, your gay and lesbian bars. Are there bars for asexuals to go and meet other asexuals? I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But you could just go to a regular bar and not fuck anybody. Like, you could just do that. It's kind of an option we all have. And if y'all knew, you don't just not be fucking. That's a fun activity. I had to Google it, though. I'm not going to lie. I went home. You have to. And I'm glad I did, because there actually are asexual bars. They are called libraries. They are called the bank. They are called PetSmart. That's where you go when you do not want to fuck, and I'll see you guys all there. Thank you guys all very, very much. One time at...
All right. Not for me, but, you know, that was all right. It was better than the first one. But, again, not necessarily somebody who's suffering from too much experience. We're at 9:51. I had some other topics that I wanted to get into, but I do not want to skip out on this. So I like to share some good news, and it's kind of a sad world out there. Some days there's lots of bad things happening. It's kind of this whole situation is weighing people down, and there's a lot of reasons to be depressed. Perhaps you're feeling burned out by the immense pressure of doing too many Zoom shows. You know, maybe you're laid off. Maybe your hours have been cut. Maybe you're suffering from drug addictions or abuse, or who knows what it is. But I like to shine when I see little beacons of hope. I like to share that with people. So we've got this nice video from a church service this past Good Friday, I'm just going to play it through without commentary, because I think it's nice. It warmed my heart. And anyway, let's check this out from Alberta.
Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. Out! 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 Out of this property! Immediately out! Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out! Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without the warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without a warrant. Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communists, fascists. Don't you dare coming back here. Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year, and they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable. What is wrong with those sick psychopaths? It's beyond me. Wow.
Wow, how dare they?
It was unbelievable. And, you know, I've got to add some qualifications to that. I did look up the guy just, you know, before sharing this video. I wanted to know who I was dealing with. And this man has some problematic opinions. He's been in the public eye before. You know, and I don't endorse everything that this man has said or will say again. Notable difference, he believes in Jesus. He's a preacher in a church, so that goes without saying. But I am pro screaming at cops and shaming them until they slink away like a bunch of bitches. It just, it warmed my heart. That guy was definitely making, I don't know much of the context. I assume he was having a church service, which I don't know what the rules are in Alberta. He was either probably not allowed to have the church service at all, or it was supposed to be more socially distanced, or people weren't wearing masks. I don't know what the backstory is, but I like the idea of somebody, you know, I'm not a church going person. But I like the idea of people that want to go to church who haven't been able to go to church, and Good Friday's going on, and they decide, you know what, we're all adults and we're going to assess our risk, and we would rather go to church than not go to church. And then the police show up and you scream at them to get off of your property until they have a warrant. I am 1,000% on board. You know, PSL, making the Nazi comparisons and the Gestapo, you know, whatever your opinion is on that, you're entitled to it. But the main takeaway here is do things, because, you know, they're not going to let us do things until it becomes a point where we're just going to do them anyway, in which case the people in charge will just get ahead of it. Because they, you know, they want to be the ones that, like, okay, here's your carrot on a stick. Well, that's a whole other thing. I had another clip that came out this week I was going to talk about. We don't have time, though. But, you know, the people in charge of all this stuff, I don't know. It's going to... We're only going to be dealing with as much of this stuff as we're willing to put up with. So as you don't want to put up with things, then I empower you all to scream at cops. That's the message of this. Do not go into somebody else's business and scream at them for making you wear a mask or whatever. That's not cool. But if the cops are coming to your place to stop you and your people from doing what you want, scream at those cops and make sure you post the video on the internet for the rest of us to live vicariously through you. Because I don't have the nerve to scream Nazi at cops, but this was pretty glorious. And I hope more people see it. And I'm all for it. Anyway, that's the show. I've been John Forward, and I will continue to be. This is St. John Forward Radio, live from my computer room in my house. Still waiting on local FM to get back to me on when I can start doing the show live. Or I am doing it live, but going to go back to doing it on the radio. I'm hoping I can just bring my webcam with me and we can do a live stream from there too. I'll have to figure out how that works, but I'm going to do it. That's one more potential audience stream. So I won't be allowed to have guests in the studio that aren't part of my Steady 15 Gestapo. I'm not sure how to say it. Anyway, the Nazis are telling us that I can only have 15 people in my bubble. So if you're not one of those 15 people. It's very exclusive. Can't have you in the studio, but if I can figure out the live streaming, we can do it over over this. Anyway, yeah, most of these shows have been me just by myself because can't be bothered to ask anybody to be on the show. But if anybody wants to be on the show, hit me up. Happy to have you, especially if you've got something particular to talk about, something that you're passionate about, or if you want to get my my genius point of view on. I'm always open for new stuff. But anyway, that's the show for this week. Four Story Walk Up is another show that I'm on. That's very fun. Find that on Facebook. There is a YouTube page. I think there's only our most recent video, but that one's bi-weekly on Thursdays. Me and Arif Hussein and, Brian Godso get into that. You can find it online. The audio version, fourstorywalkup.podbean.com. John Forward Comedy on YouTube. Four Story Walk Up also on YouTube. John Forward Comedian on Facebook. JohnForward.com all spelled out. This is all on the end card anyway, so I don't need to tell you what it is unless you're listening to the audio. But anyway, that's the show. Good night.